Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Today on the Next Brave Thing podcast, I am going to continue with Dr. Brené Brown's Guidepost to Wholehearted Living, and I'm going to be doing Guidepost number 5, which is cultivating intuition and trusting faith, letting go of the need for certainty. And I think we get to a point in life where we get to the end of ourselves, where we kind of come up short, we don't know how to do something, we've tried every possible angle, we've tried to fix the people in our life, and we kind of come up short not knowing how to move forward or fix something. And I know for me, I've definitely had plenty of those moments where I'm at the end of myself. And I've gotten to the point so many times where I'm like, wow, God has to be God in this situation. Like, I need something bigger than me to take over. And so this is what this episode is a little bit about. And I've talked a bit in this series about our body, soul, and spirit. So our body is really connected to understanding, well, who we physically see each other to be in the natural, but also our nervous system, talking about how our nervous system really shapes the way we see the world, and learning how to steward our souls, learning how to process our emotions and emotionally regulate. Today's episode is going to be focused on the spirit. So our spirit, and obviously my background is Christian faith. And I think growing up in it, there's definitely been a lot of religious blocks I've had to work through to really know the nature of God. And if you're not a Christian, you might be like, what is a religious block? but we have these ideas that are really based on humans that we project onto the face of God. And so a lot of my faith journey has been dismantling, what do I really think about God? Do I really believe God is good, that He's safe, that I can trust God? And I think that it's really important as you grow in your maturing in life that you really work through like the religious programming that is maybe actually holding you back. And I don't think it necessarily comes from anyone's, well, for the most part, I don't think people have ill intent in giving us either bad theology or causing us to see things from a more toxic perspective. But I've had to work through a lot of religious blocks that are keeping me from living wholehearted and free. Like, because I think there is a very, like, you know, there's a system that is run by humans, a lot of in the church, that don't represent God well. And so that can really, like, affect you. And I think we as humans don't want to feel controlled. And so the idea of organized religion can feel challenging because we're afraid of feeling controlled. And we're also like can have issues with authority figures, especially if our parents weren't the best authority figures, or we just don't want to be trapped in some, I'm at the mercy of this authority figure. And so I think for me, I've had to kind of really work through what my beliefs are to really feel like my own sense and my own strong conviction about who God is. Because I think that if you grow up in it, it can kind of be handed down to you. But I think it's when the rubber hits the road, like you decide whether this is going to be a real thing for me. This is going to be a conviction. And for me, I have seen way too many miracles, way too many evidence that God is real for me to unsee that. So for me, it's just like, for my own personal conviction, it's just too much. Yeah, too much of a conviction. But I think we live in a fallen world, and we have, you know, people that don't represent God the best, and which can be really, 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 really painful, especially to our mental health. But anyway, I wanted to talk about really growing in trusting faith and even growing in your intuition. And I think my intuition, I've always had a strong intuition, but I've never really learned how to trust it or listen to it. Our intuition, really can discern, whether something is right or wrong. I think of intuition of you walk into a room and the atmosphere is tense. That's your intuition knowing, oh, something's happened here. But I think what's really important to kind of cleanse the palate of our spiritual world is really learning how to emotionally regulate so that we're not projecting our trauma or our pain onto our intuition in our spiritual world. Because sometimes I think we can very quickly villainize people on a spiritual level when we have just grown up in maybe homes that we felt hypervigilant, and then we call that a spiritual gift, but really it's our trauma. And so I think it's really important to kind of go on a healing journey in really understanding what is my bias, what's my perspective, and learning how to heal our experiences so that we don't over-spiritualize our dysfunction. Sometimes that can happen, or interpret something, you know, maybe from a broken place rather than a whole place. And so that's why it's important to really learn how to steward our spirit, soul, and body all in a beautiful circular motion, so that we can really make sure one is informing the other beautifully. I think that some people, you know, I spent a lot of years really cultivating my soul and my spirit. So I process my emotions. I would, you know, cultivate my faith life. But I really voted my body off the island. And then there's some people that really focus on spirituality, but they don't have any connection to their body or any connection to their soul. Everything is in spiritual. And that's when things like maybe the fruit isn't the greatest. And so we're learning how to really cultivate all of those things because they all affect each other. And I think in this episode today, I'm going to really kind of give some language about what can get in the way of our faith. I did a spiritual gifts test, and I encourage you, if you are a person of faith, to do a spiritual gifts test, because it's really just helpful to know your wiring and how you're made. My strongest gift is the gift of discernment, but my in the top five is the gift of faith. And so I really do have a belief that anything is possible. And I sit and hear some of the hardest stories and the most painful stories, but I actually do have this conviction that isn't me conjuring it up, but I actually just have radical faith for people to overcome whatever they're overcoming. And I think that's because I've overcome really hard things in my own life. And so I do believe that when you have that gift, you can naturally impart it to other people. But also faith to me, it kind of, I know it could sound a bit lofty or a little bit delusional to some people, but faith to me is quite mathematical, and it is actually which you wouldn't kind of associate mathematics and faith. But even if you read the Faith Hall of Fame chapter in Hebrews, which is Hebrews 11, it sort of goes through inventory of all the people who like had faith and listened to God and came out the other side. And I think that that is such a recipe of what faith is, you know, like Noah building an ark to come through the flood and Sarah not being able to have a baby, then gets a baby. Like all of those moments are quite mathematical that equates to God's nature to finish what he started. And so for me, when I think of faith, I think I'm always like rehearsing moments in my life. Like whenever I face an uncertainty, I will rehearse moments in my life where I'm like, oh, I didn't know how that was going to work out. And then it worked out. And I fixate, and I know we can do the negative and focus just on the negative things that have happened in our life, but it's really powerful. And that's why gratitude is really powerful, to really rehearse the moments that have worked out. And so that's why it's almost like I approach faith in some ways quite logical. But faith is also the substance of things we hope for. So there's kind of a tangibility to it. Like it's substantial. It's not lofty. But I think that like a lot of people, my own journey as well, is like a learning to grow and mature in our faith is really a thing. Like I think a lot of people are working through disappointment of like, I thought God said this would happen and then it didn't happen. I thought this was the year that this breakthrough would happen. And especially in charismatic church world, we really focus on breakthrough and miracles, and you hear the testimonies of like breakthroughs of others, but then it can be pretty crushing when things like that don't happen for us. And there's this part of me that's like such a realist, but I'm also a radical faith person. So I live in those two tensions of like surrendering outcome, not getting too fixated on end result, and being untethered to what may happen and surrendering, but also living with vision and having hope. Like it's such a tension to kind of work out. But over the years, I've had to really grow in like how I hear God or how I perceive God speaks. And I always think that like it's a little bit of a trigger, like it can be a challenge because sometimes like we can get so fixated on what we think God said to us that we don't know how to surrender, or we kind of use it as a God trump card to relationships around us. Well, God told me this, and so I'm going to screw you, put that in your face, like, you know. And so we can have like such a bit of a combative response to people. And really to me, if you're actually operating in faith, there's a place of peace that you're in and a settledness and a trust and an assurance. You don't feel like you need to defend yourself. You don't need to like, yeah, like there's a peace because you just believe, like there's this just trust. Whereas like sometimes like when we feel like we're constantly having to defend ourselves, that tells me we're actually not in faith. We're actually in proving or striving. And so ultimately, like an exercise I love to do, especially when faced with uncertainty, and I've taken a lot of risks in my life, is write a list of everything I don't know and then write a list of everything I do know. So if you're like, for me, moving countries, it was like, I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know who my community will be. And then I write down all the things I do know. And usually they are the next steps that I feel to partner with God on. And then the space between not knowing and knowing is trust. Because I think sometimes we can have some passivity, even in what we call is faith. Like, so for example, it's like, well, if God wanted this to happen, he would just make it happen because he's overall sovereign. But I think that as we mature in our faith, like we actually become co-creators. Like we get to co-create our life with God. And I think that's so beautiful in you have thoughts, dreams, ideas in your heart, and you get to collaborate with God and steward that with God. And so you have a participation, like you have to participate. And I think often when we've had so much discouragement in an area, that's when we go into a place of passivity of like, well, if God wanted it to happen. And that's really more we've kind of settled in some ways. Like there's been resignation is the word. Like, okay, I've resigned to the, like, this is how life is, versus like powerful acceptance of reality. I understand my reality doesn't look the way that I had hoped, but I do believe God has another reality for me, like a higher reality for me. And so I think there's something authentic, like you don't want to be on that spectrum of I'm just denying any reality and off in the clouds. And then there's the other opposite, which is we're really cynical, we don't believe in anything, or there's just passivity. Well, if God just wanted, you know, he would make it happen. And then there's this beautiful balance place, and I feel like we pendulum swing to both places in our faith journey. But there's this beautiful grounded place where we're vulnerable enough to hope in a better life, in a better way, of something good shifting in our life, something miraculous happening. But then there's also like we're tuning in to like hear what God's next steps are for us. Like, and often like in life, we're mostly just given the next steps in front of us. Sometimes we see further ahead and have vision for that. But I think I've just learned like, you don't want to be living so far in the future that you're missing out on your life along the way. So it's really important to like, I think an act of faith is being present because you're not trying to escape or disassociate your way out of the present moment that is right in front of you. But really learning even, especially like if you're going through really hard things, it's really important to reality confirm. Like our bodies and our hearts are excellent BS meters. They know when we're lying and we're pretending. So it's really important to actually acknowledge like this is my reality. And even facing hard things tells me that you have great faith and resilience because you're choosing to show up and face hard things. Sometimes in faith we can call it faith, but it's really avoidance. And I've noticed for me, my most miraculous moments or breakthrough moments happen when I face the thing I'm avoiding. And so if ever I'm feeling like, oh, I need breakthrough, I need God to intervene, I'll be like, Ella, what are you avoiding? And then usually something miraculous shifts when I face the thing I'm avoiding. And so that might be a little, you know, a sign to some of you that maybe face the things that you're avoiding, because I think what it does is there's a journey of really, in the Christian world, we call it sonship. Like we learn about our identity in Christ, like that we're a son and a daughter of God. And sometimes we're not really living in our authority and living in our security in God. And so we avoid hard things. But part of like really learning your authority, really learning your place as a powerful person is really learning how to face hard things and feel God's support in you doing that. And so a sign of like living by faith is actually confronting hard things and doing hard things in our life. And often when we confront those things, like miraculous comes in to support us. So it's really, really powerful. Like when we start to participate with God in our faith walk. One thing that's been really anchoring for me in cultivating faith is really exploring and meditating on the nature of God. I think when we focus on the outcome of the work of God's hands or the miracle, when we fixate like I'll only be okay when this thing happens, when we're delaying our wholeness, or I'll only be okay if I'm, you know, famous or if I'm on a stage speaking or when I'm married and that person chooses me. Like when we can't be content until God's promise comes to pass, like that's where we can get, like it's like we're putting off good things, like we're putting off and delaying, kicking life down the road. We're actually not really learning to be present. And one thing that I've learned is like actually learning to feel whole and complete before all the great miracles happen, like is actually so beautiful. Like I know for me, like I worked on my mindset and my belief system around money, and I lived so grateful before I even had big financial miracles and shifts. Like I didn't live from that place of like lack and I don't have enough. Like I wasn't waiting for the miraculous breakthrough to happen. And then I actually did have a crazy financial breakthrough, and it was kind of like a non-event, to be honest. Like, and I don't want to not give God the glory, but it was a miracle, like a miracle that happened in my finances. But because I've been living so free from that fear and from that lack for so long, it wasn't like this mountaintop thing, you know? But I think that's part of like maturing in our faith. And that's what faith is that we see things as though they are, not as they aren't. I think I'm butchering that scripture, but we basically see it as already done. Like the financial miracle has already happened. The family has already come. Like the career has already happened. And when we live from that, oh, it's already finished, it's already done, then it's like we're actually embodying that finished, accomplished thing already. We're not trying to work towards, once I get this relationship, then I'll feel loved. Once I get this breakthrough, then I'll feel like God cares about me. And I think if we learn to cultivate that in the present moment, then we start to shift our perspective of like who God is. And I think focusing in on the nature of God, who God is, like there's so many names of God, and He's provider, He's healer, He's a comforter, He's a counselor. And so it's kind of like all the problems that we could ever have in our life, like God's nature is all of those names. So He can't help but be Himself in your situation. And so if I fixate more on like going from like, oh, I need a divine solution for this situation, rather than focusing on what the divine solution is, I would rather fixate on the divine solution giver, like actually His nature. And naturally, like ideas, insights are going to come from that place. And so I think that like that's helpful. I think in cultivating faith is really learning how to trust in His nature. And I think that we trust someone as far as we know them. And so anytime I have some trust issues come up, it's an opportunity for me to like really dissect like what is the belief I'm experiencing about God. And I think sometimes we can have a huge cognitive dissonance, and I think there needs to be authenticity and honesty. Maybe you're angry at God, maybe you don't trust God, because what heals the cognitive dissonance is actually reality checking. Like you actually say, this is my experience and this has been painful. And then it's almost like by kind of purging that honesty, you're able to be authentic with God. And in my experience, I've definitely experienced God's compassion for me in those moments, because He's not intimidated by our questions. God's not insecure. He's not ambivalent. He is a wholehearted Father. He is not someone who gives His whole half of His heart to you. Like He's so invested in your life. And I think something that I've meditated on a lot is like that God is so intentional about my life. He's coordinating all these divine appointments in my life, that He wants to set me up for success, that He's biased towards me. And when I meditate on those things, I actually can feel my body relaxing. I can feel a sense of ease come into my heart. And I can also feel strength rising as I see like maybe the brave steps or maybe the brave actions that I need to take. But another kind of fun exercise that I like to do in hearing God's voice is actually just writing down like little whispers or clues, and maybe it's my intuition, but maybe it's the Holy Spirit, where I kind of get ideas or thoughts that come into my mind, and I like to like catch them down. So it's kind of like ideas are floating around us all the time, and I like to like catch it and then write it down, and then just kind of like take a little step of faith and see where it leads, whether it's reaching out to someone or doing something creative or collaborating with someone. Like I love to follow those little clues that God is giving us all the time, just to see where they lead. But I think it's really important to not make it high stakes. So like sometimes like people will be like, I thought God said this and then it didn't work out. And it's like this really high stakes thing. And I'm like, get back up. We're just figuring it out. We're figuring out how to hear God's voice. Like it's not that high stakes. And we can get it wrong. Actually, it would be healthy to me if you could admit, that was kind of me that time. I don't think that was God. Because that actually shows that you are secure in yourself and you don't need to prove that you're some prophet, that hears God perfectly all the time. And I would say the most prophetic people are often the most like transparent, like, yeah, I don't know, I could have gotten that wrong. I don't know. And I think that's really important as we learn how to hear God's voice. Take the stakes out of it, learn little nudges, like little clues that God is sending you to line up your path, and then just see where it leads. It's like a fun way to live your life. Like I just view life as one big divine adventure. It's kind of like a treasure hunt where I get to go on a journey of like discovering the goodness of God in my life and the gifts that He's bringing into my life. And it's a really beautiful way to live your life, is knowing that there's divine support, guidance, always available to you. And so I hope you found today's episode encouraging. And even if you don't believe in God, He believes in you. I just hope that as you listen to these episodes, your heart would expand, because I think I've learned the most about God through reading the Bible, of course, but I've learned a lot about God through other people's relationship with God. So hopefully you found this helpful, and have a wonderful day, guys.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.